When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I am your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How you doing, Ben?
I'm fine.
You doing good?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not like today of all days I can stare into the eyes of the people who made this happen.
Oh, yes. We know who's responsible. Emily.
Dola,
wherever you are.
Yeah, Yzma's daggers from last night.
Yeah, so. There's Dola right everybody, there. Everybody you, can, this is who you have to thank for this. I am very thankful, personally.
I know. Yeah. So that's the element of surprise number like three of the day, I guess. Numbers,
I mean, I don't know. Sure. I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have anything else in the bag, so.
Well,
I'll tell you that right now.
As the day's one true host, do you have a corny joke for us?
You know what? Because it's live, I came packed with like three.
Okay.
You know, we like to make up a lot of ground. We don't do them all the time. when we were conceptualizing the show, we're like, you know what would be fun for a popcorn show? A corny joke. Every episode was like number one on the list.
I can't even begin. I wish we had photos of the original whiteboard that we created when we were conceptualizing popcorn culture and even having discussions about what we thought this show would be, which it is not.
Yeah,
like,
no.
we were like, we'll deep dive on like all of our Super Garland Brothers videos and like show the behind the scenes. And
yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being something else entirely. So thank you guys all for being along the ride. Yeah. with where it went. But anyway, the corny joke is one of these things that frequently does slip through the cracks, but was always intended to be a part of the show. So
absolutely. So get out your bingo cards or whatever. Ben, what is a tree's favorite drink?
That's
a good answer. Who said water?
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
It's a correct answer.
Correct answer. The answer to the joke is root beer.
Root beer.
I know.
Classic.
Yeah.
Nailed
all right,
it.
Ben. How do trees access the internet? Someone knows. They log in. Yeah.
On fire.
I know. All right.
Did you look up tree related?
Well, it's GoFest. I wanted some outdoor humor.
That's true. We are right here next to the.
Yeah.
The
most people are sitting under a tree, probably having a root beer or something.
Probably.
Yes. Or more likely water because it's sort of raining.
You read all the tree.
Yeah. Guess what I did this morning? Why is it never relaxing when two couples go camping?
I feel like I just started reliving memories. Yep. So, but yeah, what's the answer?
Oh, it's too tense. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
The awkwardness, you know.
Right. No, I get you. That's perfect. Okay. Well, corny jokes out of the way. Bingo boards checked.
I used to work at a concert venue. Name of the Wind. Other things. You guys could have seen the concert venue. It's the giant cement wonder as you come into town. It looks like a big brick.
Yeah. It's a real, quite the piece of architecture.
Yeah, it's quite, it's just a big square.
It is,
I feel like you see these other venues being built now. There's one in Las Vegas, I think they just made like out of LCD screens. It looks like a giant sphere in the desert. And I'm like, now that's cool. I see it. We went for square. It's cool. Cube.
Right. Yeah. But maybe sphere is the future of building design.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Real trendsetters. So, okay, in true hostmanship then, do you have a fun fact about coyotes?
Prepared? Oh my gosh, a fun fact about coyotes? coyotes?
Yeah, absolutely.
A deep dive?
Put you on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. So I do have at least that. I mean, I was, you know what? We ran through a lot of fun facts about coyotes in the early days of the show.
We did. Yeah. It turns out there's a finite number.
Yeah. They're only such fun creatures.
Right. Well, I mean, truly glorious and majestic.
There's no doubt. Yeah. But did you know that once a coyote finds a mate, it will travel and reproduce with the same mate for many years, in often life?
Wow.
I know.
How about that for coyotes?
I know. That's so adorable.
Man. Okay, well, it's actually kind of the perfect setup for me because the other true popcorn culture fashion is you've got to have some type of philosophical discussion.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I had two conversations yesterday that with like two important people to me, Big Steve, if you guys listen to the show and hear us talk about him a lot, and then my wife, Alice, who is around here somewhere.
Floating.
Allie. Hang on, follow the
I see her. She's in the tent.
Okay, there we go. There's Allie. But no, it was really interesting because Big Steve and I constantly have a big conversation about how, like, it feels like both of us are constantly headed towards this concept of homesteading, with the idea being, like, what could possibly be greater than being, like, massively self-sufficient.
Yeah, you know, just having, like, to do all the work, all the time, all day.
But like, in every single, like, sense of the word, it's like if you grow and you raise your own food and you have, like, sustainable energy, you know, like, powering, like, the facility that you, like, mm-hmm. live in and everything,
yeah.
minimal impact on the outside world. Like, you know, there's all of these, there's something that feels like it could be so rewarding about that knowledge that you were able to complete these tasks completely and utterly alone.
Yeah, that you're like, you don't have to, you're like very self-reliant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then I was having a conversation with my wife, Alice, and we were talking about how, like, what's interesting is that as our relationship grows, it's almost like the marker, the slider that signifies the growth of that relationship is that it's an increase on how much we are able to depend on one another. So
okay.
It's like, as the relationship grows, so does our dependence on one another, because ultimately you just continuously are able to trust them to be there for the aspects of your life that you need them for. So I was just having like an interesting mental breakdown yesterday of the weights between, like, whether or not I feel like independence or dependence are like the actual ultimate of life. And I feel like the cross section of these two is sort of like where true happiness resides.
Oh man, so like being like more dependent on your spouse and less dependent and more independent from the rest of the world.
Well, so I think that's the question though, because I feel
they feel like
it's
different roads.
They sort of are, but it's easy to imagine the world and the ways in which you grow dependent on somebody, like, on a very interpersonal level.
Yeah.
But I feel like imagining it on, like, more of a societal level is sort of like a fascinating thought experiment, because it's
just like collectivism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more that you're able to or willing to sort of like imagine the world in which, like, we're all connected to one another a little bit, the impacts that we can have to improve each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I feel like that's something just to, it's almost like you need to figure out how to do it on an interpersonal level and then figure out how to translate that to the societal level from there.
I feel like that's what happens though. Like, you would always start out like having to provide for yourself, and then eventually it'd be like, oh yeah, enough people are doing this. Like, I'm doing this better, so let me help you with that. And you help me with this. And then eventually you have grocery stores.
And then eventually you have grocery stores. A place where, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe once again, what I've just done is like independently came through the method of approaching like how society is actually
right, here
formed.
We go. Yeah. It's all trust. Yeah.
It's all trust.
We just have to depend on each other, man.
But that's a good thing.
It is. It's a good thing.
Yes.
I actually saw every time you bring up homesteading, I have like a big internal just like, oh boy, here we go. But I actually saw a TikTok the other day that it was like this, like, of people who were successfully doing it, and they had like recontextualized it for me, where they were like, my basement has become my grocery store. And there was just like a tour of their basement, and there was just like all of the squash they'd harvested and all these like long-term vegetables and things. And I was like, well, now this is fun. I like the sound of this.
Right.
Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like gamifying it.
Yeah.
Bit.
Like, it's exactly what it was. It was like gamifying it. How much can I not go to the grocery store would be great.
Right. Like
it reminded, it had the same appeal as like people who are like have like a bunker for like the end of the world. Like, I hope I don't have to use this, but I really enjoyed like having it ready.
Yeah, I think there is something like that I have to imagine. The whole prepping concept is certainly fascinating, to say the least, because I feel like it's the same thing as like van life for me. Like there's mm-hmm. like a version of like escapism attached to it.
Have you seen
like,
the vans here?
They're incredible.
They're
have
insane.
You guys seen the vans here? These things are wild. Yeah, but this is always like I will like when I need to like feel like there's too much going on in the world or whatever, I will just go and examine the merits of van life and imagining like just sort of having everything just so you've like really whittled everything down to like just these very specific items that you're able to like utilize to their fullest versus like that one thing you have in the corner of your basement that you haven't touched in forever.
I know. And I'm like, do I still need this TV stand? I'm like, I might want it someday. I don't know.
No,
gotta throw that box away.
Mm-hmm. No, so I think this is how I am with all of these things, though. I feel like I aspire to it in such a massive capacity. Like mm-hmm. I feel like it just seems like such a simple and elegant way to do things. But the other thing that I know about myself and me and Allie at home is that like we can be so good about putting our house back together to where it looks reasonably assembled,
sure.
Not like an active like wasteland or anything like that. But then if we live in it for 47 seconds in the morning,
yeah,
we've immediately disrupted the balance entirely. And
boy, I'm going to tell you, that's about 46 seconds longer than it takes at my house. Yeah.
Yeah, the question is whether or not Addie is awake yet.
Oh, yeah. That's never a question at my house. Yeah, they're awake. They're awake all the time.
This is one of the most remarkable things. I know I've said it before, but you always woke up early growing up, and I always felt like it was just to your massive benefit. And now it's like, now you have kids who wake up early.
Yeah, now I have kids who wake up early. Yeah. Luke came in our room last night at like 3 a.m, decided to sleep right up. For once, he didn't sleep in the middle. He's sleeping right on the edge of the bed, which I was like, look at this. I have room. This is great. Good job, son. And then like 2 hours later, he rolled over in the middle of the night and just totally banged his face on my nightstand.
Oh, I know.
I felt so bad for him because, I could hear it, you know. It felt bad. And then, of course, he was screaming and... with good reason.
I'm not sure what's worse. Yeah, waking up to the sound of bone on nightstand.
Yeah.
Or then the subsequent screaming.
Yeah. I just want to go back to sleep. So if you could stop being in pain right now.
This is not a convenient time.
Yeah. Come on, man. Considerate here.
Right. Yeah, no. So no. Anyway, but that's my constant quandary, though, is sort of like whether or not this is something that like I need to challenge myself to do at some point in my life. And I feel like chances are if I do, it'll be like, all right, I'm just going to go a year without buying anything and see what happens.
I feel like I've heard of people who try and go like a month without taking out the garbage or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Where it's like, yeah, I produced no waste this month that wasn't compostable or something.
I do. I have a neighbor 2 houses down, and one of like the biggest like flexes that I feel like they have, which is like the coolest thing, uh-huh. is that they only set their can out once every 2 weeks, and it's only the recycling can because that's when it goes out. I'm like, that is impressive,
man,
that you guys are able to not need the other can. So
yeah, that's not my house at all.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, mine's like overflowing.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always like... And we're at the front of the neighborhood, and I'm always like, people are driving past. They're like, wow, look at these guys. They made so much garbage. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Whoops.
You'll work up to it.
Yeah.
Or work down to it.
I'll work down to it.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
One day the kids will just go to college is what'll happen. That'll be that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, so last week... on the pop, maybe some people were telling me they were listening to last week's episode yesterday, which is, I guess, when it came out, so that makes sense.
So we were
right on cue. We were talking about how once upon a time we took that like a quiz online that's supposed to tell you what fictional character you most align with.
Oh my gosh, yes, okay.
And I think mine was Sam Seaborn from The West Wing.
Yes.
Which is a show I've never watched, so it was very like unsatisfying answer for me. I was like, I guess that's cool. It's Rob Lowe, so yay.
Yeah, I mean, you can only go so wrong.
I know, yeah. And then Kat was watching West Wing in the office for like a couple months. There she is. And I was like, ooh, that's me, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, Kat, is that a compliment, Sam Seaborn?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, okay. Okay. Good.
Well done.
Yeah,
yes.
Go me. Who was your top one?
My top one was Ted Lasso.
Yours was Ted Lasso. Was okay. Ted Lasso. That's pretty good.
I was extremely excited about it. And actually, mm-hmm. it was followed up by Brian O'Connor from the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which yeah. I was sort of like, I'm also okay with that one.
Those two just don't seem the same.
They don't seem the same. Necessarily. Mm-hmm. Ted Lasso doesn't have a tuned Nissan Skyline.
No.
But he could.
He could.
You know? I mean, he was... You know, like on the different side of the world where they have right hand drive.
Seemed like he just walked to work. So for all we know, he did.
That's true. Maybe he just kept it in the car park.
Just kept it in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Miami.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. So we thought it would be very interesting. And I feel like this is like one of those things where I've considered it before, like in my own like mental health journey, where I'm like, sometimes I almost feel like I need the person I'm talking to talk to all of the other people in my life and almost like crowdsource the therapeutic experience a little bit and be like, you know, if I go in, if like, of course I have a bias towards myself.
Right, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Although, I'm not even sure that's always clear.
But, keep going.
No, so anyway, I feel like the basic premise of this is I'm like, I feel like this would be like an interesting way to approach things. It's like, okay, I feel this way, and then if like your person goes and talks to like all the close people in your life, then they can like sort of be like, okay, what's the rub?
Yeah, what's the real Ben according to everyone else? We have multiple sources here.
We have multiple sources. So my curiosity in doing this for each other was like we spend a lot of time around each other.
A little bit, yeah.
I've known you my whole life.
Yeah. So I had like 20 glorious months there.
I know.
I don't remember them.
But percentage-wise, I actually have you beat in this particular case.
Oh, man, you're right. Yeah. Let's not contextualize it like that.
So what we did was we went through to see if we took the test for each other.
Right. Yeah. Do we match up at all? Do we have different perceptions of each other, or was it the same?
I know. It was very challenging too, because like, you know, I got to one where it was like a slider basically. So they give you like two adjectives. You start in the middle. So like, you know, if you're right dead center, it means you're like kind of both, but not a lot either.
Yeah. Were there any? So as we were doing this, were there any that like popped up and you were just like, that you had like a really difficult time deciding between?
But it was like there were not things that I would have expected that I would have like been like paused on for you. Like I feel like there was one that was like creative and scientific. And I was like, well, Jay's very creative, but he's not scientific.
Right, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's like then all of a sudden it almost feels like I'm like committing to how I perceive you as well.
Oh, I know. It's like, oh, like, this is really fine. There was one that was like, I think it was like blue collar or ivory tower. And I'm like, well, now Ben, all he wants to do is homestead and chop wood, but also he's the host of a YouTube show. So 50-50?
I had the exact same pause on the exact same question for you. I was like, I feel like it could, because like, you know, we talked about like some of like your scouting experiences last week on the
pod.
You know, I was like when it comes down to it, I'm like, you know, realistically growing up, you were far more outdoorsy way faster. Like you were pretty deeply entrenched in this like world of outdoor.
That was me, you know, my regular 13-year-old self.
But then like when you were not like camping and doing all these like outdoor stuff, you also were like a huge fan of like video games.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, not that I think Ivory Tower is necessarily video games.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, like if you're trying to like,
you know how everyone plays video games in their Ivory Tower.
Of course. Yeah. So did you have any other challenges that you write down for me?
One I just thought that this was not a challenge at all. There was one that was, I think it was peaceful or haunted.
Oh.
And I was just like, easy. Yeah. No problem at all.
I'm not going to lie. When we were doing our D&D campaign last year for the Patreon exclusive, I was going through and trying to write the backstory for my character and trying to figure out, like, you know, how it would, like, you know, how would this character go about making decisions inside of the world that we're creating for him and everything. And my whole thing was haunted.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, that was like the primary attribute was literally like. And then, you know, then of course I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, how on earth am I going to incorporate this into the character?
Everything.
Like, you know, it's like, it doesn't feel natural, but now that you say it in this particular way, I'm like, maybe I could have just been myself.
You're just, I'm just me, I'm Ben.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Maybe for our next campaign, I'll
Why
just.
Why do you guys have swords?
I just have like a pencil sharpener.
Next campaign is going to be for the Q4 Patreon.
We are going to, yeah, the next yeah, one coming are, up. Yes. It's going to be really cool. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Go ahead. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay. No, well, I was just going to remind people we have something about that a little bit later on as well. But so let's continue now with the personality quiz. So we took it for each other.
We did.
Were you, when you got the results, were you like, yeah, that makes sense? Or were you like surprised?
Well, so. Interestingly, you got Charlie Young from The West Wing.
What?
So
what?
Apparently, you missed a career in politics. I don't know.
I have to watch this show.
I know. So Charlie Young is good. Okay, good, 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 good. So you're still killing it with Kat.
Okay,
which is great.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I am me and Kat. That's why we're best buds.
Additionally, so I had to scroll down just a little bit before I got a character that I was like, okay, this fits. But I got Li Shang from Mulan.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Yep.
All
so
right.
84% match.
Booyah!
I feel like
I'll
that's a
it.
Solid win. And then at number 8 on the list with also an 84% match was Professor Oak.
Professor Oak!
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, honestly, I feel like Professor Oak perfectly embodies your, like kind of quirky scientificness.
Yeah. I mean, Professor Oak makes sense, right? Because it's like, if you're into Pokemon like Professor Oak, like, you're definitely kind of a nerd. But, like, also, you know, if you're a Pokemon trainer, all you're doing is camping all day, every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
You live on the road.
You live on the road.
In your van.
In your van. No, they walk, Ben.
Oh, they do walk.
They just walk
you live
everywhere.
You live in your bicycle.
Yeah, you live. No, that gets blown up in the first episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Over and over.
So
yeah.
other major characters got for you was Optimus Prime at
80%. Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I am very mechanical.
Yes. And then also we
and
got.
Huge.
Used to be a semi-truck.
Used to be a... Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. One of these days.
And then finally, we also had Alfred from The Dark Knight.
Oh, all right. So that version of Alfred. Just really good with the advice.
Yes.
Some people just want to watch the world burn. That makes sense because I'm Team Ninja over here, you know?
Although, did we not discuss the possibility yesterday of, yeah, Team Pirate, right?
Oh, wow, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like on some level there's a little bit of support for Team Pirate because you got to take over as host today. So maybe everybody's just leveling with me because you
maybe
got
they
to,
could yeah, be, yeah.
Host the episode.
It seems pretty pirate to have like taken over the hostmanship, honestly. It's sort of a double-edged sword, which is what a pirate would carry. Yeah.
It feels kind of sneaky.
It does, it does, yeah. Although, I didn't arrange this, though.
That's true. So the real question is if the members of the audience who did arrange this are Team Ninja.
I know.
No. Okay, 50-50.
Oh, but Emily is. Okay, all right, okay, excellent, excellent.
Okay, there we go. However,
fantastic.
Do we not describe that a concept where we have Pirate Batman
yeah.
might not be like the coolest adaptation of that character?
Yeah, I mean, I did immediately go to Midjourney and have it generate some Batman as a pirate images, and I was like, wow, people have been missing the boat on this one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, that would be, the Joker wouldn't even stand a chance.
Right.
Just not that he really ever does, but.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Okay, so personality quiz for me.
Yeah, okay, so I went through it, and I was shocked, floored, Ben, that the number one result for you was Sam Seaborn from The West Wing.
It's like looking in a mirror.
I know. I was like, what is this? Because, like, I was so surprised. One, we have to watch this show.
Apparently.
And I was like, what was crazy is like there were so many sliders I got to where I was like, oh, this is so funny because like I would definitely slide it this way, but for Ben, I'm going this way. So like there was a bunch where I went the other way and it still gave me the same answer. So I don't know what was going on, or maybe there's just certain things that like maybe those were like the outlier answers and like the core of it was the same.
Jay, you are a compass and Sam Seaborn is your north.
Apparently. But I thought that was interesting. I was like, because there were so many different ones, I was like, man, is it the case that I see like a lot of myself in Ben or something?
Ooh,
you know?
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That makes sense. We do spend a lot of time together.
We do.
You had some other pretty good ones too. You had Barry Allen.
Oh,
the
okay.
Flash, yeah.
I think Barry Allen actually was on my own result list somewhere. Maybe not top 10, but
maybe not top 10. Okay, but
like
see,
12.
What at first I was like, man, was I really answering this like more like not in an appropriate way? But I think I must have been doing pretty good because at number 7, I also got Ted Lasso for you.
Yes.
It's still okay. Top 10.
Oh, man.
I know. I was like, okay, lie. See, this is proof. See, because Ben did it for himself and got Ted Lasso, so.
Right. Okay, yeah. So there's some
so we're at least on the same there. We got Terry Jeffords from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
Love that guy.
Should have brought
and
you some
yogurt.
Yes,
so.
I know. Should have brought you some kefir this year.
No.
You know, if only.
Oh, my gosh.
And then down at 18, there was also Brian O'Connor again.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, yeah. Good.
A little further down the lines there. But, yeah, I think those are the ones that stood out to me on this list. Let me see if anyone else. Oh, you had Bumblebee.
Bumblebee is
yeah.
also on mine. I Bumblebee is my third one with 89%.
For when you took it for yourself?
For when I took it for myself.
Wow.
So apparently we got some big Transformers
yeah,
energy
just
as well.
Yeah, Optimus
so
Prime and Bumblebee up
that
here.
Like a new franchise as well to dive into. So, yeah, so we do Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Marvel, The West Wing, and
yeah.
Transformers.
Yeah, yeah, you guys want those fiery hot West Wing theories.
Yeah.
How old is this show?
Certainly you is know. Something to cover.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. Okay. And it's about the president, right? Yeah, it's the
West Wing.
What? Okay.
There we go.
You say so. I'm going to have to. All right. Yeah, I'm trying to look at their I don't know. Well, anyway, I was pretty pleased with the results overall. For the celebrity thing, I couldn't believe we had the same top answer though.
I know that is really very fascinating, and I feel like it also brings up like kind of an interesting question because it's like there. I feel like there's always some measure of difference between how you know yourself and how other people interpret and see you and your specific actions.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I had a conversation with Ethan the other day where he was like, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes it just seems like you've got, like, everything together. And I'm like, does it seem that way?
Great.
Because I feel like I need to take, like, 35 steps backwards and figure out, like, what I'm projecting that,
yeah.
that is somehow, like, because it doesn't always feel that way.
Right, yeah, well, good, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but so it's interesting as well, because I feel like in doing this for one another, it's sort of like, it must mean that characteristics about me that stand out, like you said, that you see in yourself.
Right.
Like, they must be things that, like, possibly you even value more.
Right, like, all the things about yourself that you're, like, hyper aware of that, like, you're not actually putting that out there as much.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably, I feel like, on some level.
Yeah, I'm only noticing the things about you that are like me. Yeah.
Everything else is
everything
like,
else is sort of like, come on, Ben, geez.
Ugh. Right, yeah.
No. Those parts are great.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so moving on to topic number next. Okay, so we have something we occasionally do on After the Final Pop. So we're going to see if we can't engage you guys, the audience, a little bit with probably just a hefty amount of conversation that needs to happen. Sometimes we will reach out to like our friends, family members, loved ones for a one-word topic.
One-word random topic. Yeah.
So the goal, the objective, and we're going to see if we can do it, is get a one-word random topic.
Yeah.
And see what we have to say about it.
You think anyone here could come up with a single word?
You know what? Can we think of one word? Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel?
Man.
What immediately comes to mind for me is the episode of SpongeBob where he's procrastinating and the guy keeps coming to the door and he's like, rye or pumpernickel.
That is, yes, but that might literally be the entire seismic relationship I have with the word pumpernickel.
That's all you have with pumpernickel?
I think that may be all I have.
Okay, maybe, I have a few things.
Okay, good.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so I remember when I worked at the concert venue, nice. Every year we would do this, like the bridal show.
Yeah.
Yeah, which like you wouldn't think would be very much fun for someone who is not engaged to like walk around.
Sure.
But whenever there was an event down in the special event center, I would like walk around and just see what was what. And the bridal show actually was fun to walk around because amongst the dresses and photographers and stuff, there's the catering.
Yes. The food.
The food. There's like a whole line of people who want you to hire them to cater your wedding.
Yes.
Yes. And so I remember going through, and I was, you know, this is my favorite part of any event, is just eating the food. So I was going to all the different places, and they would have these free samples, and there was this one booth in particular called Pumpernickel Pickle. Fantastic name.
Yes.
And I got their food, and I was like, oh, my God, that was amazing. And then I think Beth was coming later that day because she wanted to walk around it. Hey, there she is right there. Hey, there's Beth. And we went around, and we tried that one, and they were really good. And I think they remembered me coming back because I was like, man, this was so good. So at the end of the night, then when they were shutting down, I was just like doing like one more lap, and they were like, hey, we have leftovers. And they handed me this giant bag of like leftover food, and I was like, wow, I'm glad I made such an impression. I'm just that guy who wants the food.
You were like that guy all day who's like walking by and like kind of like looking.
Can I get another free sample? Or yeah.
snag a toothpick, run.
Yes, yes. But so we were not engaged at the time, but
this is what led you to. You were like, I got to have a wedding, so
yeah, I know. I was like, you know what? Here we go. I got a reason to have more of this food. But so after we did get engaged, though, I totally remembered Pumpernickel Pickle, and that is who catered our wedding.
That's incredible.
I know. It was really good food.
That is pretty amazing.
It was very fun. Like, I remember we went to, like, meet with them ahead of time, and they, like, cook you a whole dinner to, like, prove that they have good food, which they didn't have to because I was already pretty sold.
Yeah, but yeah, like, no, I'm in.
Let's go.
I'm the guy. Remember with the bag?
And they're like, yeah, we remember. Yeah,
yeah.
we got it.
We know who you are.
Yeah. So it turns out though, if you need someone to hire you to cater their wedding, just hand them a bag of food at some point. It leaves an impact.
Right. Right. Lasting. Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it does. It does. I know it's not pumpernickel related specifically, but it does remind me of when we went down to Disney to do our cake testing for me and Alice's wedding.
Yeah.
Because we were like, we're going in, and they're going through this like whole like completely magical day where they're literally just like they're laying out all the food for you. You've got like all these like chefs sort of like who are walking out and kind of giving you like sample bites of everything, and it's like it's Disney food, it's all absolutely incredible. And we get to like the cake stage of the process, and they've got like these like beautiful like individual slices of every flavor of cake that the Disney bakery is like willing to provide, and like every flavor of frosting that you can imagine. Like it feels like something from like, you know, like a story, you know, where you're just like, this is like unbelievable flavors of food. But I think Allie and I were so massively intimidated that they come in and put this like beautiful assortment of everything before us, and we're all like, we're like taking these like really tiny like sliver bites of each of the pieces, and like all the people in the room are kind of like looking at each other, and we literally have like cameras and stuff rolling because we were filming, you know, because we made the video about what our experience was like doing the Disney wedding, and they're like, are you guys okay? Like normally people like have
like
fun
diving into the cake.
Yeah. We were like, I don't know, we're intimidated. So yeah, we ended up finally picking something, but it was. I feel like I'm not good at this particular thing.
Yeah. Well, it's like they're giving you all the. I remember having to pick these out for our wedding too. I think we did like cupcakes for like the masses at our wedding, and it was like going through and trying a bunch, and just like you hate to be like in front of the people being like, yeah, these are no good. next, I'm going to have to pass. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like there's also a small exchange that happens at every single one of the tents at events like this or any festival that you go to. Like people come up and they're so polite and curious about like, oh, what do you guys do? And you're like, oh, this, you know, like this is us. And, you know, you'll explain your product. They're like, all right. And they just
okay. Never mind.
Didn't sell you, I guess. That's all right. But very understandable. I've been on both sides of that coin. So anyway,
there you go.
But pumpernickel, well done. We have another single word topic.
Demigod. Well, it immediately makes me think of Maui.
Maui. Which is currently Addie's number one favorite movie. She's just completely obsessed with it, which has been a lot of fun for me because I also just like love Moana.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I wish I could get my kids to watch Moana. Every time I suggest it, they're like, no, don't like that movie. And I'm like, that's impossible. sometimes I just put it on and like eventually they'll sort of like start watching it. Interestingly, there's this like Lego movie that features Moana as one of the characters.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's like got Moana and Ariel and Rapunzel and Snow White and Tiana, and they all have to team up as Legos to go stop Gaston or something. I don't know. It's on Netflix.
It sounds like
it's on Disney Plus. That makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. You've seen it?
Okay.
Yeah. It's Lena knows. Well, my kids love that. And I'm always like, Moana's in it. And you like that part. And you don't want to watch the actual movie? It's like, I can't get them to do it.
I know.
It's very frustrating.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
So now my curiosity, though, I see that you're wearing a Camp Half-Blood shirt. Yeah.
So I was saying, the other thing it makes me think of is Percy Jackson.
We've talked about it up and down a fair bit. We talked about it a little bit last night at trivia. Is there anyone else who has a relationship? Like we always say it with like the Harry Potter, like, you know, you're sort of like, am I in love with things that are British? Like, should I, like, do I, would I just like being British?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or is it like magical wizarding world and stuff like that? Because growing up, like, I thought like school houses or whatever was like a magically created thing.
Right.
And then it's just like, no, that they just actually have school
they
houses.
They just have
it's
that,
pretty,
yeah.
Pretty common practice, you know.
We had teams there. In my middle school.
You did have teams.
We had teams, yeah. I was on the investigators.
Nice.
Not as cool as like Gryffindor or something. Yeah.
Well, if you were to associate that with a house, which one would you associate it with?
The investigators?
It feels like Ravenclaw's.
I mean, the defining factor of members of house investigators was that they played brass instruments.
Oh!
Yes, so that's how they did it.
So who's most likely to play a brass instrument at Hogwarts?
At Hogwarts? I don't know. Gosh. What? The Hufflepuffs.
I feel like Hufflepuffs and tubas. I feel like I could see that. It's always a lively section of the marching band.
Yeah. So for some reason, like the woodwinds feel more like Ravenclaw or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
But then the other two were for, one was for choir and one was for art. And I'm not sure how that stacks up with Slytherin and Gryffindor.
That's a good question.
Right?
Who would be the artist?
Which one? Yeah. It's not singing, it's chanting. You're singing.
We sing fight songs.
Yeah, we sing fight songs at Gryffindor.
I can see that. Yeah.
And then the Slytherins are all just artsy fartsy and stuff. So
certainly, yeah, why not?
I guess so. I don't know.
They got that like artist soul.
Yeah. That's what everyone thinks of in Slytherin. They're like, wow, what artists?
Right.
You know? Draco. Yeah. Mm.
Right. But so I feel like, anyway, to bring it back to my original question, the thing I can never figure out, the thing I feel like I always need like the vibe check on is I feel like so much of the stuff in Percy Jackson, because it's all American and like it's not like it doesn't have this like layer of something over it. I feel like I can't ever get like lost in it quite the same way.
Yeah. Like when like Grover's suddenly eating the bag. Itself of Doritos.
Right, yeah.
I'm always
like,
hey, you just took me out of it. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm reading your demigod fiction. I'm like, now I'm just eating Doritos.
But like, so like Peppermint Humbugs, for example. Yeah. We've been talking about this a lot in the new podcast Through the Gryffindor, but like Peppermint Humbugs are like peppermint candies. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a magically created thing.
It does sound magical.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that's like one of those where it's like, when you read through, when you see Peppermint Humbugs, it's like, oh, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I know. Like that. Yeah. What are humbugs? I don't even know.
It's just a British thing.
Just a British thing.
Just a British thing. Yeah. So
there it is.
Okay, well, how about one more single word topic? Oh, Jushi. You didn't bring it, did you?
I did not bring any Jushi.
I'm not going to lie. When we left the office this morning and you had the bag thrown over your shoulder, I was petrified.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to make sure that I had my official host trophy here.
Yours.
Because even when this occasionally happens on the show, I always forget to switch it and give you the plush trophy. So I wanted to make sure I had that, and then we had to have the duck in a cup going.
Naturally. Like that. And I see that you were not able to find room in that quite large duffel bag for the plush trophy for myself.
Well, we have them in the. Do you want me to go get you one or? Hold on. Yeah. Ethan's going to take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were in the tent. So
for folks who weren't here last year that didn't get to hear about the truly splendid snack that is Jushi. Do you want to explain?
Absolutely,
Special.
Well, last year Ben and I went on this big hike through Linville Gorge in North Carolina.
Yes,
that's where it is.
That's state.
I know where we were. And it was. I mean, it was a very long hike. I think it was like 27 miles over 3 days. There was like such altitude change, extremely difficult. And so when you're hiking, there's like no, and you're like carrying like a 30-pound pack or so the entire time. And so there's no point in which you basically shouldn't just be consuming more energy of some kind, because you're burning it off way faster than you realize. And so going up to it, we're doing all this preparation, trying to figure out what would be like, what is like super high calorie, like high protein sort of food that you can carry with you that isn't going to be like super heavy, or that you're not going to have to like cook or something.
Right.
Right. So I found somewhere on Reddit, or I don't even remember where, Instagram, something.
An invention of your own is fine.
Yeah, you know what? I made it up. You don't know.
just don't fact.
What I decided was that I remembered back when I was at my first year of college was actually at Radford University. Then I transferred to Tech the next year. But I did a rock climbing trip with RU Outdoors, and part of the initiation you had to go through, if you're like, it was like your first trip with the group, was they would take an everything bagel, and everyone had to like pass the bagel around and like add some sort of food that they brought with them to the bagel.
Yeah.
And then if it was your first trip, you had to eat the bagel with everything on it. So it sort of looked gross, but there'd be stuff like peanut butter and jelly and cheese and pepperoni and stuff on it, all mixed together. And it's supposed to be this like, I don't know, intimidating thing, but I just remember really liking it.
Like you were like, yeah. I am not thrown by this at all.
This was just a great idea.
I'll take more,
please. I'm going to make these on my own.
Yeah, be sure to show up for next year's GoFest where Jay will be hosting the juicy tent.
Yeah, we'll just have our own food tent way down there.
Hand-rolled.
Hand-rolled, yeah. But so, going into the hike, I came up with these tortilla rolls that I would just spread out a tortilla, and then I'd put down a layer of peanut butter, and then a layer of pepperonis, and then I'd put like a string cheese in the middle, and then I just roll it up. And everyone else seemed to think there was something wrong with this or like morally offensive. But I brought like four of them on the trip with me, and they were amazingly good. I loved them.
No,
they were very filling.
I think it's far more passable than it sounds.
It doesn't sound good.
It's just sort of like, okay, what you get is a tortilla and then peanut butter.
Right.
And then pepperoni.
Okay, sounds good now. Okay, now you've turned left, yeah.
Top it off with a cheese stick.
Yeah, cheese stick. All right.
Just a stick of cheese.
Stick of cheese right in the middle of it there.
Amazing.
So, yeah, high calorie, good for hiking. And just enjoying a snack whenever you want it. But I guess suppose you could slice it up and make little like what looks like sushi rolls. So we have dubbed it since then as Juicy.
Juicy rolls.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Which I feel like you need to host backyard camping with your kiddos. And,
oh, yeah.
And whip up some of the world famous Juicy.
I will. And, I can teach them the ways of it.
Yes.
We actually had a campfire in our backyard earlier this week. And, you know, they were out there while Beth was hosting a book club, and they were all just going to sit around the fire, and the boys were out there with me as I was building the fire, because they're like so enthralled by the fire pit, like, what's happening, this is so cool, what's going on? And I'm trying to like teach them just like the most basic things possible, as like maybe this could be instructive in some way. And I'm like, okay, so when you're building, you want these little sticks first, and the way you can tell if they're good is if you bend them and they snap like this. And so like that's how you know it's a dead branch, and that's how you can put it in there. And they like immediately absorbed this information, internalized it, it became part of their being, and then they kept shuttling off to like the side of the yard, and they'd come back with sticks like this big, and they'd be like, is this dead stick, daddy? Is this dead stick? Like, can I put this in the fire? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, just throw it in, go in there.
I love that you taught them the method, and then the method generated the questions.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
It's like this should solve all the questions.
Yeah, like,
and
here's
instead
how you do it. Yeah,
right.
But
right.
They were interested in it, so that was cool with me. And then of course the rest of the night is just like, don't touch the fire.
Oh my god. This is Addie knows hot pretty well at this point in time, so she'll say like fire hot.
Yeah. Oh,
and then hot. Like basically she's come to associate like all the various like adults in her life with the beverage she sees them drinking most often.
Yeah.
So dada wawa, hot.
Right.
Because it's coffee. but then
that is so funny.
Yeah, it is.
Man,
yeah.
Luke came home from school, I think for Father's Day in preschool. They had to like fill out this little questionnaire of like things you like love about your dad, or things, you know, like what's his favorite food or what's his favorite drink or whatever.
Right.
And so it got to my dad's favorite drink is beer. I was like, what are you talking about?
This is like one of those, you get like the phone call from the teacher.
I know,
like, hi,
like,
Mr. Carlin, we need to speak with you.
I was like, when am I even drinking beer in front of you? Like, never. I don't know.
It is surprising, especially just given the fact that Luke does seem to know how to make you coffee.
Oh my gosh. That's the best thing ever. Yes. If he, like, some mornings he'll come in there, and his way of getting me to come downstairs is he knows how to work the Nespresso machine downstairs.
Amazing.
So he'll go down and he'll brew a whole cup of coffee and carry it all the way upstairs and give it to me, and man, those are the best mornings.
That is like peak parenthood.
That
right
is,
there.
I'm like, oh, this is it. I am doing it right.
Yes,
this is fantastic. I mean, I think to me, the best coffee is always coffee someone else made for you.
Oh, there is something about that.
Yeah,
there is some. No, there's no doubt.
Which, by the way, if you want us to make you some coffee, we have.
Yeah,
a tent,
we can. We're happy to do so right over here. Yeah. Okay, well, that's fun. That's fun. I feel like at this point, it'd be really fun to maybe lob to the audience a little bit here. We should, if Ethan and or Kat or someone is there.
Oh,
hey, we
are.
Have a floating
there's
microphone.
Kat.
There we go. So if you guys have any questions that you'd like to ask, we would be very happy to answer them.
I just
as long as we're capable. Am I picking the people or y'all picking the people? Kat, why don't you do it?
Oh, wow.
All right.
We'll place
pressure.
All the pressure.
Can I hear this? Is it good? All right.
Hey.
Hey, good morning.
It's a simple question, but I was just curious, of all the Harry Potter theories that you've made, which one is each of y'all's favorites?
Oh, man. Favorite Harry Potter theory. So, I don't know if it really counts as theory, but my favorite Harry Potter thing we've made has been the what if Harry was in Slytherin.
Yeah, like, I was
having dreams about that one.
That was pretty wild. It definitely it permeated to like all aspects of life. It was pretty much everywhere.
It was it was everywhere, and there was the scripts were 20 plus pages long.
Yeah,
like
typical's five.
Yeah, typical was five, and it would get to it would be okay, well, we got to get the video up on Wednesday, and it's Monday, and we've written three pages, and you sit there and write all day at work, and be like, well, I guess I'm just staying up until three tonight, and I was I would be listening to the book as fast as I could, and I'd be sitting in my basement just watching the hours tick by, and I'd be I'd have the Harry Potter lexicon page open and be referencing things that would happen and be okay, now, but this changed, so would that have changed too? And I'd have to stop and I'd write down all these notes, and I was so deep in that one.
Yes. It was definitely I mean, I think the finished product was over 100 pages.
Oh yeah.
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 So,
for sure.
Little behind the scenes on that one. I remember the day that the guys kind of came up with this idea. They came out into our sort of office kitchen area, and they sort of lobbed it out. We spent no less than 3 hours just talking about it, the whole team together, trying to parse it out, figure out what would happen. But the first day, just making the outline was three hours the whole team.
This would be Friday's video, and then got to the end of one book, and we're
nope.
Well, we're gonna have a lot more left to do.
Yeah.
That was such a cool experience with the team though, because I feel like it was teaching our brain what questions to ask as we were trying to unpack those. Because that whole saga, we the thing we always say is we almost didn't write it so much as discover what would have happened if this difference had been made.
Yeah.
So it was really cool just to be but wait a second, now Harry's not there, and then this ramification, then that, and then most likely based on what we know, is we try to support everything with as much canon information as we could.
We got halfway through it, and we were doing some consulting with a YouTube company, or they were consulting for us, and they were now I think it's, you guys might be getting a little too granular with it. I thought you could probably skip some details. No, you don't understand the comments, because they're going to be but Harry wouldn't have been there. Yep. So we got to,
these people are sharp.
They're going to get it. Yeah. They're going to know.
Right. So it's got to be right. So anyway, but yeah, so that was, yeah. Otherwise, Luna is a wolf.
Confirmed.
All right, Kat, who do we got next?
All right, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So my question is where is the top place that you would like to travel to? You could pick maybe a family destination, and then maybe one you'd like to either go with your wives or each other, I'm going to open that floor.
Oh, man. So whenever I think of where I want to go, I always think of Norway first, just Scandinavia in general.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I learn more about their culture, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm supposed to be there.
I'm pretty sure Sam Seaborn.
Yeah, Sam Seaborn. From, he's from Norway, right?
I think so,
No doubt. Yeah. Probably.
It almost feels like he must be.
Yeah, yeah. California. You know how they say California is the Scandinavia of nowhere.
So. I don't know if it's a specific destination, but I would say when we found out we were expecting Addie, the two big things that started rolling through my brain that I was someday I want to be sure we're doing together is skiing and scuba diving.
Yeah, they have that in Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do both there?
Well, it's going to be really cold scuba diving, I suspect. Yeah.
Like a thick wetsuit, so.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, I feel like all my favorite travel is always where I can use the local environment that is there that provides you something that maybe you don't have back home.
Yeah.
So it's always really cool when you can go and there's something about this space or this geography that you can interact with. So,
yeah.
But the other big one that I desperately want to do, that it's also one where I'm can I wait until Addie's 15 is hiking Kilimanjaro.
Oh yeah,
which I think is
that'd be very cool.
Because it's like one of like the highest peaks in the world, but like from the best of my understanding, a surprisingly approachable hike. So it's like for being like a similar height to, you know, like Everest type stuff.
Right, like don't need like crampons and pickaxes and
yeah. Like it can be done.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, the other place I would want to go maybe just with Beth would be Japan.
Japan.
Yeah, definitely want to. Yeah, it just feels like I love. There's so much to be like. I feel like America and Japan have such a cool fusion of culture. It'd just be very cool to be over there and experience like more of their side of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Great question. There you go. Nice.
Yes. Awesome.
What's your favorite Disney movie from the Renaissance era?
From the Renaissance era.
Mine's Hunchback of Notre Dame. Good one.
What is yours? Hunchback of Notre Dame. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, man, I am. They're all so good.
They are. I know. I feel like Lion King.
I know. Lion King feels like the easy answer, right?
Lion King is one of those movies where I feel like part of its masterpiece is that like obviously a lot of times when we're writing these videos, we'll go through. And we're trying to pull the various assets that you guys end up seeing, you know, like visually on screen as we're attempting to like explain a plot point or whatever. So you end up watching a lot of movies in these really weird, disjointed ways because you're not consuming like, you know, from start to finish and just sort of being like, oh yeah, approximately there. You're just clicking at 47 minutes in and hoping that's, you know, like whatever. But The Lion King has this special ability where I feel like you can click randomly at any point in time, come in cold, and it will nearly have you in tears within 7 minutes tops.
Yeah.
And I love a good movie that can make me cry. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Before you gave the modifier about the Renaissance, I feel like Encanto and Moana have both been like two of my faves, but Encanto definitely takes the cake for sob fest.
Yeah.
You can't get through it. Yeah.
It's very good. Lion King is good. My other, boy, see, I keep thinking of the next one. I'm like, I was going to say Aladdin. That's probably the one I've watched the most.
Aladdin's a good one. Great
Aladdin's
music.
A good one. But then I love Beauty and the Beast too. And then it's like Mulan is hard to ignore, you know?
That's the thing. It's like, it's the Renaissance. Yeah.
They were all good. Yeah. And the Little Mermaid. no.
It was Tarzan. Yeah.
Tarzan. I'm going to go with Aladdin. I'm going with Aladdin.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Hi. Oh,
that's hi.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Jay,
yes.
Are you considering at all getting a tattoo? And if so, what is it?
Oh,
honestly, there was a small part of me earlier this year where we were talking about tattoos. And I swear I was like, I felt like there was a part of you that was like, I'm going to beat Ben to it.
Oh.
I feel like you were like, I think, because you were not only hearing me talk about it like on the podcast, but it was also constantly every other hour of the day.
Right.
It was like a very pervasive topic. And I was like, I feel like sometimes like I would talk to you and at first I was like, I can't imagine Jay getting a tattoo. And then as time went on, I was like, wait a second. I feel like I'm underestimating him. So does Sam Seaborn have a tattoo?
Yeah. Right.
But no, it was like, I was like, this almost feels like one of those things where like, you don't have the same barriers. And I felt like our conversations were letting me know that you were like, you were not nearly as like concerned as I clearly was. And I was like, he might just go do this.
I just go do it.
But I would be deadly curious.
I'm not like specifically considering a tattoo. I don't have anything against having one. I've other than just like wanting to settle on what I thought was cool. I think the spot you got yours on like my left forearm would be the spot.
Yeah.
That's like where I've always thought.
You could get hey and I could get brother.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I don't hate that. That's pretty fun. It's like a joint tattoo sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could never really settle on what I would want it to be is the thing like I always think like if I managed to like win some sort of like very big like Pokemon tournament that could like do whatever like the ace Pokemon was or something. That'd be really cool.
Okay.
You're like, oh yeah, look at this thing I did. But even then I would want it to be like very unique looking per the for the Pokemon in general. Otherwise, I've thought before it would be fun. This is like less fun. It would be like, well, I don't know. To get like a snitch, but like in somewhere where you can't see, because then you have to like find the golden snitch.
This feels like a game
but it
with
sounds
strangers.
So inappropriate.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly. It's like, do you have any tattoos? Yes, but it's hidden.
Yeah.
It's like, where does the conversation go from here? I'm not sure.
No, it's like, it's just really themed.
Yeah. It's clever, right?
I don't have anything in mind, no. But I would not be opposed to getting one if the right thing came to me.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Addie, and I'd like to ask, if you were in the Percy Jackson universe, who do you think your godly parent would be?
Who do you think your, like, parents would be?
Yeah, who do you think your godly parent would be?
Now I'm like, do I know the characters well enough?
Who is Annabelle's?
Apparently mine would be...
Annabeth. Nailed it. Definitely didn't show any of my hand just now. Annabeth. Mm-hmm. Athena. I mean, Annabeth is... This is going to sound bad because I just botched the name. Was my favorite character of the series. So I feel like that's where I would point. I feel like I sort of, like, especially with Addie having been born, like, right next to me and being, like, our Scorpios and water signs.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, you know, doing some Poseidon.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I feel that feels like being a Harry Potter fan and being a Gryffindor a little bit.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know?
I can see, I would also say maybe Athena, because of, like, the whole strategy aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, that fits you better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were to ask Luke, maybe it would be, like, Dionysus or something.
I could see it.
Yeah, no.
Beer.
Probably Athena.
All right, let's do a couple more.
I think we are...
Hello.
So
following up on the tattoo thing, okay. Yesterday on Instagram, I saw that Walt Disney World is opening up their own tattoo parlor.
Oh.
It's going to be from artists and animators from who make all the movies will be actually giving out the tattoos.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be, I just read it yesterday.
Oh, man.
So in that case, Jay, would you consider going and getting a tattoo from them?
Oh, that's very cool. I like that. There is, whenever we go down there, I always love going to the Art of Disney stores where they have all the paintings that are priced at, like, you know, $5 bazillion. I'm yeah. like, are you kidding me?
Last year at the art festival, I walked up. There was one of the paintings from the Mandalorian. So, like, you know, the episode will end and they'll show you some of the concept art. And they had one of those. And I'm standing there and I was, like, chatting with a woman. I was like, yeah, like, what's this one? She's like, oh, that one's $12,000. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Cool.
Like, how do I not display my shock here? Not that I didn't feel like it was worth it, but I wasn't expecting it.
So, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. A little, like, the absolute, like, sticker shock.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
The artist, I always, every time I always try and find whatever they've made, and I always think about getting something and then don't, but I think it's Will Gay. Is that who it
yes.
is? Yeah,
yep.
Will
yep.
Gay.
Yeah, so, really cool art style.
Yeah, really cool art style. It does a lot of, like, the main Sensational Six characters.
Yes.
So I could maybe see that. That could be cool. Just have, like, a very, because they're very, like, simplistic looking.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. I love that. I feel like this is really cool because I, like, you know, because Allie and I even got married there, we sort of have this, like, permanent tie.
That.
So
right.
I feel like doing, like, because we've talked about getting, like, a tattoo together as well. So that feels like it would be like, we'll just go back and do another permanent thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. That'd be okay. fun. What'd you guys do at the park? Got a tattoo.
Couldn't get in the pool afterwards.
Data.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
So out of the fandoms that you've covered, not part of your main five, so Hunger Games, Name of the Wind, Avatar, The Last Airbender, which have been your favorite and why?
I noticed you didn't mention Name of the Wind, even though... Oh, okay.
She said Name of the Wind. She said Name
of
the Wind.
That one.
You probably got distracted because you were thinking about Name of the Wind.
I was like, hold on. Now, wait a minute. No. I'm listening to it right now, and I just keep thinking... Beth is listening to it right now, and we just keep having all these little conversations about the theories and stuff. I was texting Ben one yesterday. I was like, I think I know Dana's real name.
Daisy.
I got it. It's Daisy. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there.
Figure
yeah.
it out.
The fun thing to me about Name of the Wind is that, like, we deep dive into all these fandoms so much. Obviously, like, you know, for work, it is, like, what we show up every day to do. But when we are not working, the fact that Name of the Wind is the one that we are texting about, like, it's usually, like, we've never been able to, like, really, like, get it onto the channel the way that we would like, but it probably is our favorite. But that being said, I went so deep into that Hunger Games universe, I think, like, a couple of months ago now, and I was blown away. I was like, I feel like this whole saga is just, like, a lot more airtight and interesting than I expected.
Yeah.
So.
Otherwise, for me, it's probably just The Last Airbender. Like, I am so excited for all the new content coming out with that stuff. There's, like, the new live-action ones coming out next year.
Yes.
They're going to have, like, a new animated series with the next Avatar, and it's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
I know.
So,
I know.
Expect coverage on that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll catch up by then, I promise. Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much for attending Popcorn Culture Live.
Yeah, this has been so fun.
You guys came out in the rain, endured the elements with us.
I know. Hopefully, you guys aren't too soggy. I love you. Yeah, can we get everyone do a duck call at once?
Oh, that sounds so okay. On three, one, two, three. Oh, there's kind of a sweet spot, isn't there?
Yeah.
I almost blew too hard at first.
Oh, man.
Guys, we are going to be hosting a meet and greet where we're happy to meet every single person who would like to chat or take a photo or ask any questions. It's going to be right next to our tent
over
here to the side. It'll be just immediately to the right. At least according to last year, it did take a little bit of time to get through everybody, but we want to be sure that everybody has, you know, a minute to chat and everything. So we appreciate your patience in advance. And again, we appreciate you coming out to listen to us chat.
Yeah, but
until next time.
Pop, pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.